Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our Sunday morning Bible study.
Okay.
But we'll be in Galatians chapter 6 and start with verse 11. We've been talking about in the previous verses there before we get to there about things to bear. You know, burden, you know, one another's burdens. Like I said, we got through all the way down to verse 11 or last week, yeah, through our study. And we're planning on finishing it this morning, and then Tom's going to take over the class next week, next Sunday, and then we'll start our new lesson. Tom, remind me, I can't think, what book did you say you was doing?
Ephesians.
That's right. Yep. Like I said, we'll be in Galatians chapter 6 and start with verse 11. Ye, how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand, as many as desire to make a fair into flesh, they consign you to be, only thus shall suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who have helped the law, would desire to have you, that you glory in your flesh. You know, it says that, you know, shall suffer. In verse 12, it talks about suffering for the cross. You know, we think about what Christ, you know, you think about what Christ did for us. You know, how much punishment he went through and how much suffering he did for all of us. Then we'll get into verse 14. But it says, but God forbid that I shall glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and unto the world. For in Christ neither available anything nor but a new creature. You know,
well,
you know,
I think it's important to bring out that what he says there. He said, God forbid that I should boast. That's the problem with a lot of people in the world. Even religious people you see on TV, they have a tendency to promote themselves. I'll say it in that fashion rather than just say boast. But they promote themselves and what they're trying to do and how big facilities they have and how many airplanes they've got within their budget and this, that, and the other. And if you look at Paul had none of that.
Right.
He basically had to go almost from day to day. He made his own living for the most part by doing the work with the tents and making tents as was part of his trade. And so he had nothing to boast about. He said, if I'm going to boast on anything, I'm going to boast of Jesus Christ. And because the world has been crucified to me. Not only was Christ crucified, Paul says, I got myself crucified to the world for Jesus' sake. Hmm. I don't live according to the world. I follow Christ, and to the world, I'm crucified, or I'm dead to the world.
Right.
And he says, And for in Christ there is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. And he's referring there to Jews or Gentiles. And it makes no difference whether they were Jew or Gentile, whether they were, as he said, circumcised or uncircumcised. But through Jesus, we're all a new creation, or new creature, some versions might say.
Right.
It seems like it comes down to with circumcision. That was, there's a lot written in the New Testament on circumcision, because they were trying to bring that back. There's probably a lot of pressure to get back, and that's, if you compare that today, there's things that comes into the church and controversy, and if you just go along with the people that are leaving the word, and we don't have scripture for it, then you just kind of go along with it. That's the thing with this circumcision. He was telling them to stand firm that circumcision wasn't important anymore because of the old law. and they were trying to keep trying to get them to change. I did want to mention too, from that verse 11, some get some ideas that maybe Paul's thorn in the flesh was his eyesight, and that some of the, I guess you're just guessing at this, when he said large letters, that maybe he meant that he wrote in great big letters because he couldn't see well. We have no proof of that. It's just people conjecture, things like that. Paul did sign a lot of his letters, and Hebrews, most think that he wrote that, but he did not sign it. So things like that we don't know.
Going along off of what Jim just said there about the large letters, when you look at the scriptures, Christ never did any kind of miracle halfway. Anytime there was a miracle performed, full recovery was given. And I can't believe, and I'm like Jim, I have a problem with people say, well, he was blind or partially blind because of the road to Damascus where he was blinded at that point. But I have a problem saying that, because then why wouldn't he have said that? Why wouldn't he have said that this is my thorn in the flesh? But evidently it was something more personal that he just didn't want to throw out there. I mean, we talk about things that are not personal. The things that are personal we keep to ourselves. We might hint at them, but we keep them to ourselves. And then, off also what Jim said there in verse 13, he was talking about the Jews trying to cause the Gentiles to be circumcised and live according to the old law. But verse 13 said, for not even those who are circumcised, or that would have been the Jews, those who were born Jewish, who were circumcised, they don't keep the law. But they desire you to be circumcised, that then they can boast in your flesh. They can say, I got you circumcised. I got you following the old law. Mm-hmm. Paul said, that's not what's supposed to happen. You don't need to follow the old law. They don't even do it.
True.
It was down there, said, practice what you preach.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
True. And just like it hit a little bit on like where Jim had mentioned there in verse 11, talking about the letters. You know, it says in there also too, if we look at the bottom part, it says, unto you with my own hand. You know, he's telling us that it came from his hand.
A lot of times he had somebody else writing. He would dictate and they would write. Because, you know, we stop and thinking, well, he sat down and he just spoke his whole letter. No, he may have spoken part of it today and part of it next week and part of it later. And therefore, he had somebody else writing it down. You know, he had several different people with him. Timothy, you know, for one, Silas was there along with him. We don't know who did the writing. But somebody did.
That's right.
Except in this case.
Except in this case. That's right.
You know, it's a good thing Paul wrote these letters and had maybe help. But it all comes from God, the writings. I mean, wasn't their thoughts. Or...
Right. When we know everything that came from what Paul did came from God. God gave him the, you know, told him what to say. And we knew that. Of course, we talk about this a little bit like where Daryl would mention about in verse 15, you know, we're all new creatures. You know, and he talked about also too, or the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. But we're all, you know, we're all new creatures.
Where does that happen? Where do we become new creatures?
Baptism.
Yeah, just like Jimmy said, the question he had there about where do we, you know, where do we call ourselves come from new creatures? You know, and that's through baptism. In verse 16, and it says, as many as walk according to his rule, peace be on them, and mercy and upon Israel of God. And from his root, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. You know, he's telling us that, you know, it says, no man trouble me. You know, he's telling us that there ain't going to be no troubles. And it says, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. You know, he's showing us that he's doing work. He's doing the work for the Lord. And we all have that. You know, we're doing the work for the Lord. We're also, too, we're getting marked up, too. Just as Paul did. But also, he's telling us that let no man's trouble me. You know, that's where, you know, there's not going to be any issues or anything like that in troubling for what they have.
Where it says, for I burn in my body the marks. How did he do that? He was also beaten with a whip.
Right.
Paul had received stripes also, and he still had the marks that Christ had.
That's right.
Yeah, if you go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, they're off of what Brother Dave's talking about. He said, 2 Corinthians 11, and verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In death, often. In other words, the chance of having his life taken from him. From the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, minus one. There's some of the marks that he saw could be talking about. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and day I've been in the deep. Journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, fasting often, in cold, and nakedness, and besides the other things which come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. So, and then it goes down to verse 30, if I must boast, I will boast of the things which concern my infirmity, that the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. Yeah. We see Paul as this, in some ways I think a lot of people look at Paul as being that well-dressed preacher that would stand up in front of you, you know, shirt, tie, maybe a suit coat. No. When you look at it, he says there were times he said, I didn't even have clothes to wear, or not what would be proper clothes, because of the things that he was having to go through. You might get to maybe some place where the people were similar. Maybe somebody loaned him a coat or something to put on. We don't. But he was not one of these rich preachers. He was not one of these guys that, you know, made a killing at it. It was almost the killing of him that happened.
True. Yeah, you know, just to touch on what you're talking about, you know, you think about, you can talk about appearances. You know, it don't matter what you got on, what clothes you got on. But some people do make it, you know, like say, well, look at what he's wearing today. You got to look at the person itself, the ones that were inside them clothes. You know, that person could have knowledge and know more than what you even know. But if you look at his appearance, a lot of times that turns somebody off. And I know that happened. I know that from hearing it and seeing it several years ago, as we went to a church away from here, and this person was there. He was actually visiting, and that person pretty much didn't get realized because of what he looked like. And I know that happened because I heard it and I actually seen it. And that's about like what Daryl was talking about there. You know, especially in that last part of this verse here, it says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord. You know, every one of us has marks. You know, especially with Paul, all the what he went through to go out and preach the word. And it tells in the scriptures, like just like what Daryl talked about there. You know, where he went through the beatings, the whippings.
And you know something else I just thought about? Mark said he would carry that he wouldn't show or couldn't be physically seen. You stop and you think about it. He's on the road to Damascus. He's a Jew of the highest, one of the higher positions in that day and age. A Pharisee who had studied at the feet of Gamaliel, and he's on the road to Damascus to bring back Christians to be put on trial. And before he left, he probably got a pat on the back from somebody and said, go do a good job. And somebody mm-hmm. else said, here's your orders you need, and here's your directions. And here we go. And then within the next 3 days, those same people were trying to kill him. Now, there's the sign of things that you're bearing in your body that can't be seen. Those are the things that's inside that you're having to bear, that the people that you used to be able to associate with now want nothing to do with you. They want you eliminated because they would look at you as being a traitor. And those are the unseen marks that he would bear in his body.
That's true.
Scars on the heart.
Scars on the heart. Good way to say it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to look at verse 16 again, Mark.
Yeah.
Walk according to this rule, and I wanted to relate that to something on Wednesday night. We studied about the law of liberty, and I've run into some people talking about. And they say, well, there's too much law and doctrine and that. We want the liberty. We don't want the law. But it says there, as many as walk according to this rule, and that goes back to that verse before about we're following the Word of God now, the New Testament, not what the Jews were following. And it's mentioned there at the end of that is the Israel of God, and now the church is a spiritual Israel, and it's the Christians that are the peculiar people, the chosen people of God. That's in Romans 2:28-29 about the spiritual Israel.
It's true. You know, it says, and like what Jimmy was talking about there in verse 16, it says, as many as walk according to his rule, you know. And also in the next part, it says, peace be on them and mercy. You know, he's talking about, you know, they need to have peace and have mercy. Of course, then we get into verse 17, and it says, let no man's trouble me. You know, he's telling them, nothing's going to trouble me. Nothing's going to bother me. For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. You know, Paul went through a lot of things, but he's also telling us in this verse that there ain't going to be no trouble that he can't take care of, that he can't bear. Because he's went through a lot of things already.
You know, Mark, all the suffering that Paul and the apostles went through. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5, he says, "For the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abound." They got comfort. That's a hard thing to think about. And the apostles, in Acts, they went about, after they were beaten, they went on their way rejoicing.
Right.
Suffering for Christ. They loved the Lord and they wanted to go to heaven.
True.
And people today quit the Lord's church because they got mad at somebody. The preacher didn't say something or something was said, and so they'll quit rather than doing like Tom said. You know, they no matter what the problem was, first century, they kept going.
That's right. You know, we talked just to touch a little bit on what Darrell was talking about. That's how a lot of churches have split, you know. We could have a battle, you know, if we wanted to, say, at this building here. You know, we could get upset over because of the color of the carpet. You know, half of us wanted to be blue and half of us wanted to be green. It, you know, a lot of them, when they don't get their way, that's how they move on. And that's why Paul's telling us in this verse here, nothing's going to trouble him. Nothing's going to bother him. And he's also telling us how things are going to be, how he's going to bear it. In verse 18, just to finish up this verse and chapter, it says, "Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with your spirit." And it says, "Amen." You know, pretty much out of the study, especially in chapter 6, you know, it's talking about bearing others' burdens. Every one of us has burdens. And God always has, you know, we all have burdens that we have to bear. It's just like in verse 17, Paul has burdens too. But he's telling us, them troubles ain't going to bother him.
And then there in 18 he says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, amen." And that grace, they call it unmerited favor. Sometimes that's difficult to figure out. Unmerited favor. But I kind of think about it maybe sometimes as, well, we know the unmerited favor is in many cases, the forgiveness of sins that we have committed. But yet I think sometimes that grace, that unmerited favor is allowing us to be able to figure things out and get along and not cause some problems sometimes. Grace is the thing that covers many different aspects of life. We almost always apply it only to sin, but I think it covers a whole bigger area than that.
True.
Why does it end with amen? What's amen mean? We agree. Yeah, in some cases it's you agree, but sometimes I've thought about that and actually studied about, well, what am I saying when I say amen? And in some cases it would be you're saying, well, this is true. I was saying someone's praying, I say amen to that. If they're praying according to scripture and that, they don't need my approval. It's more that I believe this is true. And in some cases, it's different than that. Sometimes I believe it should be fulfilled. We hope it's for the future, so that's something as well. It's like that, you know, I think it's in Matthew, the place where Christ spoke. He says, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly."
True.
You know, the biggest thing I get out of this, it is teaching us when somebody leaves the body of Christ, it's each and every one of us' jobs. Not just one person. Each and every one of us should go try to bring that soul back to Christ. That's how we bury each other's burdens.
Amen.
It's not just the preacher or the pastor or whoever, or the deacons or the elders or whoever. It's every Christian's job.
We'll wrap up there, there this morning, and like I said, Brother Tom will take over next week. And yes, please.